Good morning. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, chapter 17. We're actually in a study in the book of 2 Timothy, but we're using that as a jumping off place, and we're going to be jumping off to Luke 17 here in a little while. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn there for me. Rudyard Kipling was a famous poet, writer from England. Actually, not from England. He grew up in Bombay, India, just for history buffs. Sake. Famous, made famous by his writings, wrote books, writings such as How a Leopard Got His Spots and The Jungle Book, other things for which he's very well known. And Mr. Kipling was not only made famous by his writings, he was also made fairly wealthy. In an interview with a newspaper reporter, the newspaper reporter was referring to the fact that he made quite a bit of money off of his writings. In fact, he said, Mr. Kipling, it's been reported that based upon the amount of money you make and the amount of writings you've had, you're making about $100 a word. And so Mr. Kipling kind of looked at him like that, and the reporter, while he was looking at him, pulls out of his shirt pocket a $100 bill, hands it to Rudyard Kipling. He says, there you go, Mr. Kipling. Now, I want you to give me one of your $100 words. Mr. Kipling took that $100 bill, looked at it, looked at the reporter, put it in his pocket, and said, thanks. I think that's great. It is a $100 word, isn't it? Actually, the attitude that's behind it is worth even more. It's easy to say thanks, but to really feel it, to really understand it, to really understand what it means to say thank you, to really get something and appreciate something that you didn't actually deserve, is such a such an incredible thing, such an incredible place for us to be in life, an attitude for us to have. Well, as I said, we're in a study of 2 Timothy, and we've been looking there in chapter 3 at a list of atrocities that Paul writes to Timothy. He says there will be terrible times in the last days, and then he gives us this huge list, starting with the love of self, and then there'll be lovers of money, etc., etc. Well, the word we're on today, one of those lists, one of the reasons why there will be terrible times is because Paul says people will be ungrateful. They will lack gratitude. One of the causes of the terrible times that we are in is the fact that people lack gratitude. They are ungrateful. They are ungrateful. Actually, the list we have in 2 Timothy is actually a mirror of a list Paul gave quite a bit earlier. He writes 2 Timothy from a prison cell in Rome, his last days. In fact, this is his newest book, his last book, is 2 Timothy. He ends the book by saying very confidently that he's certain that this is it for him, that he's gone. In fact, church history agrees with that, that he not long after writing the book of 2 Timothy was beheaded. He was a Roman citizen. That was considered a courtesy. We cut your head off. We crucify the rest of you people, or something worse, if there could be something worse. So Paul is beheaded not long after this. We know he's going out, but he gives us a list many years earlier when he writes the book of Romans. He intends to go to Rome, not the way he is currently writing the book in 2 Timothy. He didn't know how it was going to turn out. He just knew that the Spirit was saying he was going to be going there. So he writes a letter of introduction of himself to the church at Rome, and it's what we know of as the book of Romans. And in that book, the beginning of that book, he gives this list of atrocities that are as the result of the fact that people are spiraling down. Humanity is spiraling down because they've lost a relationship with God. And actually, I think it'd be instructive for us to see this morning, considering this whole issue of ingratitude, it's instructive for us to look at what the cause of this spiral down situation is. So in the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, we read, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness." Understand, nobody's getting away with anything. It looks like they are. There's a lot of stuff that looks like injustice, but I'm telling you, justice is coming. It will be thorough. It will be massive. It will be omnipotent. And thus we have the description there in the book of Revelation. Why is the book of Revelation horrible? Because God's wrath is going to be revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. He goes on, because that which is known, notice, known about God is evident, notice, where? Within them. Not around them, But there's something that God has taken the time to make sure and write it on our hearts that He's here. So there is nobody that doesn't know there is a God. There are people who ignore the fact that there is a God. There's people who try to deny the fact that there is a God. But there's nobody who doesn't intrinsically know, because this is true. God has taken the time to write it on their hearts. For God has made it evident to them, and God is quite capable of making things evident, is He not? Here's the bottom line. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, notice, from the dawn of time, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. The evidence of God in the created order is enough to throw anybody into hell. That's essentially what he's saying. And then he talks about this spiral down. So why is it that even though the evidence of God is absolutely clear, he's taken time to write it on our hearts, that people say there is no God? Well, he takes the next verse and he begins to explain that to us. For even though they knew God, because why? Because God wrote it on their hearts. They did not, notice two things, honor Him as God, number one, or give thanks. Ungrateful, you see. Ingratitude. What's the result of ingratitude or ungratefulness in the hearts of men? But they became futile. That's the result. You either acknowledge God and you give thanks to God, or you're going to be futile in your speculations. Your foolish heart will be darkened. You'll profess to be wise. We'll all say you're wise. Your mama will say you're wise. The whole world will give you a PhD. But God will say you are a fool, because that's what you'll be. You sure will be. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That's the condition of our world. But notice the two things. The jumping off place was people failed to acknowledge Him, even though they knew Him as God. They failed to acknowledge Him, and they failed to give Him thanks. And that's the word I want to focus on this morning. The giving of thanks. And gratitude is a serious sin. It's the stepping off place or the spiraling down of the world that we live in. So it's a serious sin. We're going to give it serious consideration this morning. Let's start off, first of all, by working on a definition. What does it mean to be grateful? What does it mean to give gratitude? Well, to be grateful, actually, we've got to get back to the Greek, because we're looking in the New Testament, and of course the word grateful is in there, but it's in the Greek language. What does it actually mean? Well, the root of the word grateful, or to give thanks, essentially is the word grace. It is the word grace, the Greek word used consistently all the way through the New Testament that we translate as the English word grace. So to be grateful literally means to return grace. The implication is you have received grace, stuff you don't deserve. That's what grace is. Getting stuff I don't deserve and I didn't earn, good stuff, is grace. That's what God does to us. I have received grace. To be thankful is to return grace. I hand a child a piece of candy. What does she say or he say? Thank you. They didn't deserve that. I gave it to them because I'm a nice guy, right? That's returning grace. It was gracious for me to do it. It's returning grace when they say thank you. Likewise, it is returning grace for us to give thank you, gratitude to God. It is not returning grace when we don't say thank you, and when we don't feel it here, when it doesn't move us here. And it's a huge problem, a massive problem. The law demands the death penalty in hell for every single law breaker. The laws of God. The law demands it. So, why are we still here? Why are people out there who are intentionally breaking the laws of God, why are they still here? Because God is a gracious God. Nothing other than that. If you're still walking, you're still breathing, you're not actually getting what's coming to you, you hadn't got it yet, it's because God is gracious. You're a recipient of grace. Much more those who have come to faith through, come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. We're even much more a recipient of grace, but there is a common grace to everybody. And we're not just not in hell either, are we? We're walking, we're talking, we're living, we're eating, we're breathing, we have clothes, we have a house, we have a place to go, we have family, we're basically living large and having a happy life, in addition to all that. Now, we don't deserve any of that. There's not a single thing that you can point to in your life and say, I deserve that. Not a single thing. You didn't earn it. In fact, you don't even want to have a conversation with God about the stuff you deserve. Ever. Ever. I know for a fact you are not getting what you do deserve. That's called mercy. Getting what you don't deserve, that's grace. We're all common recipients of grace. We experience grace. Again, we're not just not in hell, we're having a great life. So ingratitude is among the worst sins because it's the blindest. It doesn't recognize the simple facts that God created everything, and everything given to us is by grace. He doesn't, we didn't know it to us. It's extremely blind sin. So how can people be so blind? Well, it's back to the original character of the list we saw there in 2 Timothy. It's because people are lovers of themselves. We love ourselves. The world revolves around us. We think basically nothing but of ourselves. That's the condition of our world today. One of the results of that is that we're ungrateful. Why? Because one of the chief characteristics of a person who loves himself or a person who loves herself is that they feel entitled. This sense of entitlement. You see, our huge problem in our society today is that people love themselves. One of the symptoms of that is that people feel entitled. You do stuff for them, they don't say thank you. They have no feelings of thank you in the heart because they feel entitled to it. It's like a paycheck. I don't say thank you for my paycheck, I work for it. They think they deserve this stuff. I deserve to be walking around here. I deserve to be breathing and wearing clothes. I deserve to have a mind that can think and ability, and I deserve to have a job, and I deserve to not be in hell. I deserve all that, don't you know? And that's their attitude toward God. And that entitlement mentality creates such a horrible condition, and that's what we're suffering with today. We're suffering with an entitlement mentality here in our world. Do I need to even talk about what entitled people, how they mess stuff up? Do we really even need to discuss it? Why is it that people who commit crimes are living in essentially country clubs today in our nation? Why is it that if you're a victim to a crime, you better make sure you got a lot of money and a really good lawyer? Why would I need either one of those things? Because entitlement society has put the criminal in the power position, not the victim. Why is it that a policeman can catch a person red-handed committing a crime and he better dot every I and cross every T or that man will walk? Why? Because we live in a convoluted, entitled society. That's what entitlement does. It completely flips things. You forget the fact or you ignore the fact that you're receiving stuff that you don't deserve. And so now you come up with this whole new panorama of how the world should work because in fact it's revolving around you, don't you know? And then the world is revolving around each one of us. We've all have our little galaxies that we're dealing with in life, and we're our own emperors and our own commanders and our own gods. And that's where our world is messed up. What happens when an entitled person does not get what she thinks she's entitled to? That's exactly right. You heard, hell hath no fury as a woman scorned. I got one better. Hell hath no fury as a child robbed of his toys. And that's our society today. Kids. Adults, I mean, they're adults physically, but emotionally, mentally, and certainly spiritually. They're children. And they've been robbed of their toys. And they're not grateful. They're mad. They're mad and they want to have a conversation with God about the stuff that they deserve. And they're going to get one, aren't they? And it ain't going to be fun. And He is going to give them what they deserve if something doesn't happen drastic in their lives. Shredding our society. Shreds us. Completely destroys us. I mean, who would you rather be with? An entitled person? You know what I'm talking about? An entitled person. You can't do anything for them. You can't do anything. You wind up not wanting to do anything for them because even the stuff that you do, you bend over backwards for them. There's no gratitude. They deserve it. Thank you. No, there's no thank you in their hearts whatsoever. None whatsoever. Rather be around a person like that who becomes nothing but bitter, or would you rather be around the person who, with a crust of bread and a glass of water, says, all this and Jesus too? Those people are salt of the earth. You can do anything for them because they are grateful. They understand the equation of they're not getting what they deserve to begin with. In fact, the stuff they're getting, they don't deserve at all. So they're grateful. They're very grateful. And they change the world. They are world changers. They are part of the reason why we've had such a great nation for so long, because we've understood where it's come from. We're forgetting now. And then we will be forgotten as a result. It is truly a shame. So how do we increase our gratitude quotient? And how do we work to rid ourselves of these feelings of entitlement? Well, again, we need to understand what gratitude does for us. And we need to understand what gratitude does to God. Remember our definition. Gratitude is returning grace. I have received grace. We're all common recipients of grace. Anybody that's not in hell today is a grace receiver. You're not getting what you do deserve. In fact, you're getting a whole lot of stuff that you don't deserve. And that is the definition of grace. We are grace recipients. So we're all receiving grace, but are we returning grace? See, the difference between gratitude and ingratitude is an example that I always love to go back to because it is one that explains stuff so well, at least in my mind. I hope it does for you. And if it doesn't, tell me, because I'm going to keep going back to it. It's such a beautiful example. The difference between gratitude and ingratitude is the difference between the Sea of Galilee in the Middle East and the Dead Sea. Both are fed by the same river. Both receive the same amount of water. One is completely alive. One is completely dead. One, the Sea of Galilee, about as much water as flows into the north part of the Sea of Galilee through the Jordan River, about that much water flows out of the back end of it. You say, well, how can that can be? That's not right. You know, our mentality says we should get stuff, not give stuff. How am I going to get better unless I get stuff? If I give stuff away, well, then my life's going to get worse. No, listen, the principle in nature, the principle in life, the principle in the Bible is learn to give. And you will find yourself, here's what I know about the Sea of Galilee, it stays full all the time, and it's teeming with life. I fished there. 5 tons of fish we caught in a single morning. There's no fish story. 5 tons. We nearly sunk, you know, the whole story of Jesus throwing down on the other side and they hauled the fish in and nearly sunk the boat. We nearly sunk a boat with it. We nearly did it. It was awesome. It was really awesome. They've been fishing that lake that way forever. It's still teeming with, hadn't fished it out. It's not that big. It's no bigger than our bay. A lot smaller, in fact. It's about as wide as our bay, but it only goes about 12 miles. Our bay keeps going and going and going. They can't fish it out because it's a special lake. But what it gets in on the top end, it lets out on the bottom end. That what comes out the bottom end goes down to the Dead Sea. It receives just as much as the Sea of Galilee, but it's a completely different place. It is the most sterile place probably on the planet Earth. Nothing grows there. Nothing grows in the water. Nothing grows on the shore. It's so bitter, you better not let the water touch your lips or touch your tongue, because it is the most horrible taste you will ever taste. It is completely saline. I mean, just utter saline. The rocks on the bottom, when you walk on the bottom, you feel like you're stepping on rocks. Then you reach down and pick one up. It's just clumps of salt. That's all it is. Because what that lake does is it takes in, but it doesn't let any out. That's a life of ingratitude. We're all receivers of grace, but are you giving grace back? Are you returning it? The difference is the Sea of Galilee compared to the Dead Sea. Which will it be for you? Which would you rather be? Well, you can't want to be the Sea of Galilee, but act like the Dead Sea. It won't work that way. You're going to have a sterile, bitter life until you learn to realize that nothing you have you deserve, and that you owe a lot of grace back. Then it will work for you. Then the equation and the cycle, if you will, of grace actually will prove itself in your life. Ungrateful people are very bitter, very sterile people. Number two, ungrateful people are faithless people. Look at this verse. This is a popular verse that we use when we talk about Thanksgiving. And it's important, but it's often misquoted. Paul says, in everything give thanks. In everything, right? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Can't be any more plain than that. It's just real straightforward. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice the preposition up there. Often I hear it quoted, for everything, or we have this attitude that for everything I should give thanks. That's not what it says, does it? It just says in everything. There are plenty of things for which I should not give thanks. I mean, they're from the devil. They're because of our worldly system. They're because of my stupid flesh. I shouldn't give thanks for those things. I should give thanks, though, in those things. Why? Because my God is bigger than all that. See, he's bigger than the devil. He's bigger than my stupid flesh. He's bigger than the world that I live in. In these things, you see, the preposition is important. in the midst of these horrible circumstances that are far from the will of God and not at all the way He created this earth to be and not at all what He planned. What am I going to say? Thank you, God, for evil stuff? No. Thank you, God, in evil stuff? Yes. Yes. Because, God, you're bigger than evil. See, it's that gratitude, you see, is an act of faith. Why? Because when I thank Him in the midst of evil stuff, I am actually claiming that this verse is true, which we should all know. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things, even evil things. Right? That's what it says. All things to work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. See, when I thank God in evil stuff, not for evil stuff, but in evil stuff, I'm saying, God, you're bigger than this. I believe you. I have faith in you. I have faith that you're going to turn this whole mess, even stuff that I've done, you're going to turn it into something good because you are a powerful God. That's what Thanksgiving does. You need Thanksgiving. You need gratitude. We desperately, desperately need it. Now I've asked you to turn with me to the book of Luke. And I want you to look down there. Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 19. We're going to read an incident that took place in conclusion this morning. An incident that took place in the life and ministry of Jesus. Jesus was traveling along the Galilean border with Samaria, which is about the center part of Israel. And along there he comes across 10 men, 9 of which are Jews, 1 of which is a Samaritan. All in common they have leprosy. Leprosy was a horrible problem back then. It can be a horrible problem today. But it was epidemic proportions because they had no way to treat the skin disease. Leprosy meant, if you had truly leprosy, meant that you eventually died just from rotting from the outside in. It's a horrible, just atrocious disease. Part of the requirements of leprosy, according to the law of God, was that you couldn't live with people. You could only live with other leprous people. You had to go outside of town. You had to cover yourself head to toe, including, it says, your mustache. I guess ladies where a mustache ought to be, maybe. You had to cover everything. They could only see your eyes. And everywhere you go, anytime you were close to people who did not have leprosy, you had to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" In other words, warning, don't get near me, because it was communicated through touch. Warning, don't get near me. That's the way they had to live their lives, a horrible life. And then you die from this incredible disease. But let's read the situation. Jesus is traveling between Samaria and Galilee, verse 12. As he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. That was a requirement. You couldn't get near people who were uninfected. They stand at a distance. And they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. 100% of them. All 10. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan, the scripture says. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory?" You see the meaning of thanksgiving, the turning back, to return, to give glory to God, except this foreigner. And he said to him, "Rise, go your way, your faith has made you well." A couple more things to point out about this, how important gratitude is. All were recipients of grace, weren't they? Did any of them deserve to be healed? No, but they all were. That's grace. 100% receive grace. Only 10%, though, returned grace. Only one of them. Only one of them returned grace. All recipients of grace, that's a category of our world. Everybody's receiving grace. Everybody on this side of earth, not in hell, is a recipient of grace of some form, some measure or other. I don't care how bad your life is. You're a recipient of grace, because hell is much worse. You're a recipient of grace. Everybody's receiving a grace. All 10 were cleansed, if you will, but only one comes back to return grace. And it's important. All 10 were physically healed, but only one, according to verse 19, Jesus pronounces a word over him. Notice that word. Your faith, notice what he says, has made you literally whole. They got physical healing. One got wholeness, though. One got not only healing, but wholeness. And see, this is the whole process, if you will, the cycle of grace. The cycle of grace, and the difference between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, even though they received the same amount of water, is that there is a cycle in one, and there's no cycle in the other. The difference between a happy person and a fulfilled person in this life is the cycle in their life, as opposed to a bitter person who has no cycle. There's only a one-way door into their life. They take stuff in. Yeah, give it to me. I want it, but I ain't giving nothing away. I won't say thank you to you, and I won't say anything to you, God, because I deserve it, don't you know? Well, just get bitter all you want to, because that's what's going to happen to you. No way, because you don't have the cycle. You must have that cycle of grace. Recipients of grace, returners of grace. Receive grace, return grace. Receive things that I don't deserve, which is almost every single thing, if not everything in my life. Returning thanks to God. God, I don't deserve this. Thank you. Thank you. Then that stuff, then those things, then those experiences actually add wholeness to my life, not bitterness. A person who's not willing to return thanks is a person who you can do anything for and give anything to, and they will only get worse. You can't do a thing for them. You can't help them. But again, a person who's willing to return grace with a crust of bread and water will say, all this in Jesus too? Wow. Whole. Even with very little, they will be made whole. Scripture says this man, apart from the other nine, was made whole. There's one more thing that gratitude does for us, and not just for us, but it also does something to God. I want you to notice there in the very end, this guy stands, all these guys come and stand a long ways off as required by law, can't touch anybody. Jesus, have mercy on us, would you please heal us? Go, he says, and see the high priest. As they're going, they were healed. Nine of them, as far as we know, according to the scriptures, never saw Jesus again. And apparently it didn't bother them. Why? Because they thought they deserved it, probably. Thought they had it coming, or they wrote it off to something else, but they didn't give him credit because they would have found him just like this guy did. They had ingratitude in their heart. Nine of them never saw the Savior again, but I want you to notice, not only does this guy get to see the Savior again, he gets to touch him. Scripture says he comes and falls, literally falls on his feet, throws himself at the feet of Christ, hugging his legs is the picture that I have. He gets to touch, and who does he touch? Just some old guy? The Savior of the universe. How incredible. You see what Thanksgiving does for us? See what it affords us? You see what it does to God? You have an opportunity in Thanksgiving, literally, to touch the Savior, to return something that has been given to you. God, does he need grace? No. But he wants it from you because it's what's best for you. It's what will make you whole. It's what's going to give you everything that you need. It's what's going to complete the cycle in your life. It's what's going to keep you from being the Dead Sea over here and make sure that you're always full and that you're teeming with life just like the Sea of Galilee. That's what he wants for us. See, what a blessing they missed. Wholeness and the opportunity to touch the Savior. That's what Thanksgiving does. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all the things you are to us. Lord God, we so desperately need to thank you. Father, I pray that we'd be burdened with a need of thanksgiving. Help us, God, to make a list. If we lack gratitude, just to make a huge list. List all the things that we have, but that we don't deserve. There's no way for us to get to the end of that list, but somewhere before we get to the end, certainly, Lord, our hearts will change. God, we want to return thanks to you. Thank you, God, for your kindness, for your grace to us. Thank you, God, for giving us what we don't deserve. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to earn your favor. We don't have to earn your love. You've given those things to us, the most important things on the planet Earth, most important things in the universe, and they're completely free. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. Stir our hearts toward gratitude so that we don't become bitter. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.